It had taken another full day and a half before all the wagons, teams, and possessions were across the river. The rest of that day was spent reloading the wagons and getting them trail ready. On the third morning, the four mountain men and Edmund sat around a small fire, getting ready to pull out from the banks of the river. They were the only ones awake at this early hour, besides the sentries.
We've been lucky that no Injuns or any of Bum Kelly's people ain't fell up here on us, Preacher. You get the idea that someone's watching us?
Yeah. I get me a tingly feeling in my back when that happens, and I've had one since yesterday.
Not Injuns. White man. Wears long coat. I find thread.
Well, damn your eyes, Nighthawk. Wasn't you gonna tell us?
I'm not your mama.
Just one man?
Very careful, man. Afraid, I think.
Now, how could you possibly know that?
Nighthawk can tell by the way he moves. His tracks will show if he's skittish. He's got to be from Bum's bunch.
Yeah. Dupree, you guide these pilgrims on today. I'm gonna lay back and watch a train go, then do some hunting of my own.
You take my hat and give me yours. We'll swap horses, too. That ought to throw him off.
At the crack of dawn, the wagons moved out. Preacher headed towards the rear and came up on the spot where Nighthawk figured the outlaw to be. That crow wasn't far off by 100 yards. Only problem was, the outlaw was gone now. Preacher could see that his horse's droppings were still very fresh, so the man, whoever the hell he was, hadn't been gone more than a few minutes. He'd made a cold camp and eaten some biscuits.
Sloppy damn eater.
Preacher ran back to his horse, swinging up into the saddle in a single movement. He backtracked and picked up the outlaw's trail. The mountain man rode with his rifle across the saddle horn, all senses working hard. Preacher could see that the man he was tracking was either very sure of himself or just downright stupid. At no time did he find a spot where the man had reined up to listen or look around him. He just plowed on ahead. In the wilderness, that was a damn good way to get captured by Injuns and made slowly and painfully dead. Eventually, the man he tracked left the cover of timber and brush and moved his horse onto the trail the wagons were taking. Preacher swung in far behind him, walking his horse. He was in no hurry to kill the man. It wouldn't be long before the train would hit the south rim of the Snake River. In fact, by now it could already be there, but the going was still relatively easy for the route. That wouldn't last long, though. If Bum and his people were going to attack, they would either do it before the train hit the rugged south rim or wait until they were between the rim and the Blues. Preacher figured it'd be the latter. Probably in the Blues itself, so's any patrol that come up on the ruins would blame it on the Cayuses. Preacher knew Chief Tamsakia, the Cayuses, and got along with the tribe for the most part. He couldn't figure why they'd turned violent. That Bible thumper who built the mission must have really riled them up.
Whoa. Well, now ain't this sweet.
Preacher could see by the trail markings that the man he was following had been joined by at least 3 more riders, all of the horses shod. Preacher squatted down, the reins in his hand. The men had stood and talked for a goodly time. Preacher found where someone had knocked out the remnants from a pipe, and he found the butt of a soggy stogie. The riders had resumed their trek west, and Preacher followed, soon discovering that the new men were just as confident or downright stupid as the original rider. Their sign told them they never stopped to check their back trail or even to sit their saddles and listen.
Just plain ignorant.
Regardless, Preacher grew more cautious. He was now up against 4 outlaws instead of just 1. Stupid and careless they might be, but 1 man against 4 was lousy odds any way a feller wanted to cut it.
Whoa, Hammer. You got company.
Yep.
Preacher swung down from the saddle, pulling out a 3rd pistol from its saddle holster. He stuck that one in his sash to the rear. He would have to make every shot count. He crept through the brush.
You helped me kill that damn preacher, and Bum would sure welcome you into the gang for sure.
Shit. I've been hearing about that bastard for 10 years. I'm sick of it. It'd be worth killing him just to get folks to shut their fly traps talking about him.
Preacher held his Hawken in his right hand and a .50 caliber pistol in his left, both ready to bang. The pistol was double-shotted, the twin balls capable of inflicting terrible damage upon a human body. The Hawken was a warhorse of a weapon to fire one-handed, but Preacher was a warhorse of a man, and he'd done it just that many times.
What's so damn important about some lousy wagon train, though? Yeah, them folks ain't got nothing worth stealing.
This one do. Besides, it got some of the finest-looking white women this side of the muddy. How long's it been since you cast your eyes upon the naked flesh of a beautiful white woman?
Lordy, I'm getting all swole up just thinking about that.
We'll just keep tagging along after the train. Bum and Red Hand ain't that far behind us. Between the four of us, we ought to be able to take out Preacher and them other nasty-looking men that joined him by the raft. Then, with them gone, the wagon will be easy. They ain't nothing but a bunch of pilgrims with women and kids.
What other men's Preacher with?
Three trappers come up on the train back at the river. They don't look like much to me.
Or shit.
Nighthawk and Beartooth and Dupree had roamed the mountains together for years. They were three of the toughest men Preacher had ever known. Besides Jedediah Smith and himself, Beartooth was the only other man Preacher personal knew who had actually killed an attacking grizzly with just his knife. There might have been others, and probably were, but Preacher didn't know about them. If these four piss-poor rogues squatting down there by the trail thought they were the match for any mountain man Preacher knew, they were sadly and badly mistaken.
White women. I can't hardly wait. After we get through with them, we can swap them to the engines for horses and pelts.
What about the kids?
Bum and Red Hand says we kill them. You boys got any problem with that?
Hell no. No big deal. Just grab the babies by the ankles, bash their brains out against a wagon wheel or boulder. I've done it lots of times with engine brats. But 10, 12-year-old girls, they make for good hopping on.
You know, I got me an idea. See how you like it, Ryan. We could take them young girls down into California and sell them to slavers. I know people who pay top dollar for a fine-looking girl, especially blondes. Oh, they really bring a good piece of change.
That ain't a bad idea. But that's up to Bowman Red Hand. I'll sure suggest it, though.
There's some real nice fellas down there.
Preacher moved forward, and he was now able to pick out shapes. This was going to be mainly pistol work, and he was still too far away by many yards for his short guns to be as effective as he would like.
You say there's missionary people on this train ride?
Yeah, two of the finest-looking females you ever seen. Make your mouth water just gazing upon them. Hell, we've been chasing them for 500 miles. That's how fine they is.
Oh, I gotta see this. I can't hardly wait. Hell, let's ride!
Hell, let's die!
Big, lard-butted, pus-gutted ruffian's belly exploded from the 54 Hawken shot. Preacher's pistol volley struck Rod in the face. Preacher dropped his Hawken and jerked out a pistol. It misfired, leaving him to face two pistols ready for discharge. He rolled fast, then came to his feet holding his last charged pistol. One of the two remaining outlaws threw good sense to the breeze and came crashing into the brush after the mountain man. Preacher opened him up from belly to gullet with his knife. Preacher pulled the knife out and wiped the blade on the dying man's jacket. Then he fell to a knee. He took his time, working fast but carefully.
He's here, Jason. He done me in. Oh, it hurt something fierce.
I'll see you in hell, child raper.
Preacher took off, slithering his way north of the last man on the trail, who by now was getting real nervous.
Who are you? What do you want? Hell, join us. There's no point in any more shooting.
It's Preacher, Jason. I know I've seen him somewhere before. Kill him for me, Jason. Avenge me, boy.
Yeah, Jason. Why don't you come give it a try?
Jason whirled pale with fright. He had a very nervous trigger finger. Ah! Preacher's ball struck the young man in the chest. He dropped his pistol and went down, both hands clutched to his bloody chest, covering the mortal wound. Preacher slowly walked over to the young man, guessing him to be in his early 20s. He stood over him, his tanned and rugged face as set and hard as his eyes.
Gonna be a big tough outlaw, were you, boy? Didn't quite work out the way you'd planned it, did it?
God damn you! God damn you to the pits of hell for killing me!
Well, if it wasn't me to put a ball in you, it'd been someone else, I reckon. You got a ma you want to speak any last words to?
Hell with her and you.
Oh, you're real no good, ain't you?
It's getting dark.
It's gonna get a hell of a lot darker, boy. You can trust me on that.
I hate you.
Man shouldn't go to meet his maker with hate in his heart. That's just another mark against you, son.
I still do.
Well, no skin off my ass.
Preacher turned away and began gathering up the outlaws' horses. They were good horses, too. That's one thing you could count on about outlaws. Due to their way of life, they had to have horses with a lot of bottom to them, so they always stole the best.
You ain't gonna leave me to die alone, is you?
I thought you hated me.
I do, but I want somebody here when I pass.
I'll stay, but I ain't gonna get too close. I might get a hot foot when you expire.
After meeting up with the wagon train the next morning, Preacher sat leaning back against the wagon wheel, recounting to Beartooth, Dupree, Nighthawk, and the others what had happened.
The wilderness is full up with scallywags like them. I knowed when town started up they'd be filling up with foot patters and back shooters and the like.
What towns?
Over in Oregon and Washington Territory. Why, I seen one town this last trip had more than 24 buildings. Dupree said one of them had a lady's dress shop that was spelt with 2 P's.
Why?
Damned if I know. How many P's is it supposed to have?
Boys, how in the hell are we gonna get these wagons across the south rim and over to Snake?
I talked to Tom Fitzpatrick not long ago. He told me how he thought it could be done. He said Tom McKay had done it last year, but they had to leave the wagons at the Snake River Gorge. I think there's a way, but it's gonna be a rough one.
What happens when we reach the Danes on the Columbia? That is one evil place.
We portage it.
With the wagons? It's never been done.
It's either that or float them. I reckon we could build rafts to ferry the people.
With the wagons on them?
Look, let's get these folks through the South Rim and out of the gorge first.
Yeah, that's good thinking, Dupree. We just need to take her one day at a time. I don't know of no other way to do it.
The next day, Swift stood with Preacher and the other mountain men, surveying the brutal terrain of the Snake's South Rim that spread out before the hilltop they had come to stop on.
My God.
Yep, get your winch out, Swift. We're gonna be here for several days getting all these wagons across this mess. Get your strongest men to work the winch and put others unloading the wagons and toting the possessions up that trail. We ain't gonna do it by standing here jawing. Let's get to work.
How many of these steep, rocky trails lie ahead of us, Preacher?
Oh, about 1,000 or so. You just be glad some trappers found a way around Hell's Canyon.
What's that?
Oh, a place you don't even want to look at. Let's get to work.
And work they did. It was either that or turn around and take the California Trail, which no one in the party wanted to do. Using ropes and muscles and winches, sometimes doubling the mules and oxen, one by one the wagons reached the summit of the peak, only to discover that another seemingly insurmountable, boulder-strewn, steep mountain trail was what faced them. So they squared their shoulders, rubbed sore and aching muscles, and faced the task. The men and women worked all that day and managed to make 3 miles. There wasn't no song singing around the fires that night. Directly after supper, nearly everyone except the mountain men and sentries rolled up in their blankets and were out in 2 minutes flat.
You gotta hand it to him, Preacher. This bunch here is gonna be the breed coming from the east. We're gonna be all right to my way of thinking. I'm right proud of these pilgrims.
Huh?
All right, now damn it, I'm jawing at you and you ain't paying a lick of attention. What's in your craw? Spit it out.
We're going over the Cascades, Beartooth. We still got the fast water to cross. We gotta make rafts. We'll take the wagons apart. I'm talking about right down to the box. We'll make the box waterproof with tarps and tallow. From this moment on, save the candle drippings. We'll use that to fill the small cracks and holes in the beds of the wagon. That way, should a raft get ripped apart, the wagon beds will still float.
You are a genius, Preacher. Hell, I never thought of that. But why not just stay on the rafts and head on down the Columbia?
Bum Kelly and Red Hand are them Warren Cayuses, that's why. We'd be sitting ducks bobbing around in the river. Besides, if the Cayuses is up in arms, the Snakes and the others will be too. I've made up my mind. We go over the Cascades.
It's a hard 250 miles through them mountains.
And nobody ever took no wagon train through them either.
Well, now, boys, the likes of us has been the first to do a lot of things. climbed up through mountain passes that no other white man ever done before us and gazed on land that was wild and pure? Well, who were the ones who blazed the trails and forded the rivers and laid it all out and made it easier for them other ones that we knowed would come ripping and snorting and blowing after we blazed the way? We were boys, us, the first mountain men, nobody else excepting us. And they ain't never gonna be no one else like us, you can bet on that. I mean, shit, how can there be? We done it already. It was us who was the first to make friends with the Injuns, them that would let us, and the by God first to do nearabouts everything else that's been done by white men out here. We was the first. So the way I look at it, hell, boys, this little adventure we looking at now won't be nothing compared to what already lays behind us.
Oh, damn. Ain't that pretty? You sure do talk nice when you've a mind to do so.
Even Nighthawk nodded in agreement. Bum was rapidly getting a gut full of the mountain man called Preacher, but the thought of calling off the chase never entered his mind. But he couldn't afford to lose the support of Red Hand. Without Red Hand's braves, they would have no chance against the wagon train. Bum beckoned the engine away from the rest of the group at the fire. The outlaw had been working out a plan in his mind, and now was the time to see if it would work.
Now look, Red Hand, I wouldn't blame you if you took your people and run back to the Pointeuffs. That's a mighty mean man we're chasing. Lots of folks are scared of Preacher. So you just go ahead and take your boys and run away if you're a mind to.
Red Hand does not run away from an enemy. Why would you think I would even consider such a cowardly act?
Well, I don't know. Just come to me, that's all. You getting so far away from home country, I reckon. And we ain't been doing so good against Preacher.
You worry about the cowards among your own group, and do not ever again question my courage or the bravery of my people.
Well, fine, that suits me, Red Hand.
The Blackfoot stalked away, his back stiff from the insult against him. Bum returned to his men by the fire. He squatted down and poured himself a cup of coffee.
How'd it go?
You know Red Hand, Beckman. He wouldn't quit now, no matter what happens or how far we have to travel. He's in it all the way.
When do we hit the train?
Between the Blues and the Wallawa, right along the Powder. I'll toss it to Red Hand, and before it's over, he'll be thinking he suggested it.
Why don't we hit him on the Columbia? You know they gotta take the river.
Maybe not. Preacher ain't never done nothing the easy way, so I've been told. I got it in my mind that he's gonna try and take them across the Cascades.
Well, that'd be plumb stupid. Ain't nobody ever took no damn wagon across them mountains. Ain't nobody ever going to, neither.
I don't know of no one who ever tried it, but if anyone can do it, it'll be Preacher.
So when do we ride for the Blues?
I'll give Red Hand an hour or so to get over his mad, then I'll talk to him. I imagine we'll pull out in the morning. We'll get there in plenty of time to lay out an ambush site and get all rested up.
You think Rod is dead?
Probably.
I liked him. He's a good man.
Yeah. Well, he wasn't good enough.
The traveling was getting rougher for those in the wagon train. The terrain was miserable, and the weather was just as bad. One day it was 90 degrees, and next day it was cloudy and cold. But they pressed on, following the Snake River over rough and rocky ground. The wagon train was halted early that day due to several broken wheels that needed repair. Preacher took the wagon master and a few of the other members of his inner circle aside.
Swift, we can expect trouble up ahead. It's a place called Rocky Creek. It's about 20 miles from where we're camped. Since the first big band of movers come through last year, trouble-hunting Injuns been hanging around there, and they're a one mean bunch. Pass the word that nobody wanders off once we're there.
You got it, Preacher.
We're only going to put 15 miles behind us tomorrow.
But this is an excellent stretch of trail in these parts. We could do more.
I want to make Rocky Creek by mid-morning of the next day and put it behind us as quick as possible.
You figuring we'll have trouble there?
Yeah. Something's got these engines all stirred up. I don't want to camp nowhere near that creek.
What kind of engines will these be?
Northern Paiute, probably. Maybe some Bannock. Ain't no telling, really. A lot of them is renegades and just plain troublemakers. Renegades will put aside hundreds of damn years of tribal hatred just to band together for protection.
Yeah, well, even still, I hardly think they'd attack a train of this size.
Look, I've had my say, Swift. If you could see any further than the end of your nose, you'll take my advice. Continuing the next day along the rugged trail, Preacher could sense that spirits were low. Still, the slowed pace seemed to be welcomed by the pilgrims after the grueling territory they'd covered over the previous few days.
Hammer? Whoa!
Not 100 yards ahead, sitting smack in the middle of the trail, was a mother grizzly and 2 cubs. Luckily, she had not yet caught his scent.
Swift, hold it up and don't be tooting on that damn bugle neither.
Why? What's the matter?
I said, hold up the goddamn train!
Hold up! Hold up, folks! Preacher says hold up!
What the hell are you doing?
Mama Grizz and 2 cubs sitting smack in the middle of the trail. She'll weigh a good 800-900 pounds. We'll just let them alone and they'll move directly.
Oh, shit! Here comes Avery.
You see the bears too, huh? I'll go up and shoot her.
You will do no such thing. Now, who care for them young of hers?
Who gives a hoot?
We do! You learn this now, boy. You don't kill something for the sake of killing. You kill for survival or for food. You eat what you kill. You don't kill something just because you... God damn it! That little pissant son of a bitch! Yeah!
Hammer leapt forward, easily overtaking Avery. Preacher reached out and slapped the young man clean out of his saddle. Yeah.
Oh!
Shut up, get your butt back in the saddle, and get back to the train!
My papa'll whoop you!
That's real damn doubtful, boy. Get in the saddle, now! Now get out of my sight!
Go to hell!
This time, the blow was a brutal one, bringing blood that leaked down onto the young man's shirt. Beartooth settled a loop of rope around Avery's shoulders just as he was getting to his feet. Beartooth jerked hard.
Ow!
Learn you some manners, Squirt! You so anxious to go out for a ride? Well, I'll take you for one! Yeah!
Ow!
Preacher grabbed Avery's horse reins and began leading him along back to the rest of the wagon train. Avery's path, a man called Wade, came into view and spotted his pride and joy being dragged down the trail at the end of a rope.
By the Lord, you'll pay dearly for this!
Aw, shut your trap, or I'll dab a loop around your shoulders.
You step down from that horse, and I'll give you a thrashing you're not likely to forget for the remainder of your days.
About that time, Beartooth returned, dragging a decidedly less feisty Avery.
You damn fool! Preacher will clean your plow before you can even blink, pilgrim!
I've fought Cornish all my life. I'm not worried.
Now you back away, Wade. Your boy got what he deserved and no more. It's nothing to be fighting about.
Avery's father was rolling up his shirt sleeves and flexing his muscles. He did a little footwork in the trail to limber up. Preacher paid him no mind. He walked over to Swift to report what had taken place between Avery and the mountain men. Given the ruckus, he was well aware of the situation.
Preacher, you best be wary of the man. He's a rough fella. He ran taverns back east.
Oh, is that right? Now, what do you expect I best do? Run off somewheres and hide?
Look at him carefully, Preacher. The man's a brute.
Yeah, he's a big un, all right. I'll bet he makes the ground tremble when he lands on his ass.
My boy's been cut and bruised, and he says you struck him in the mouth and face, Preacher. By the Lord, you'll pay for this. Turn and face me, Preacher. Receive your thrashing like a man.
Pilgrim says he's gonna thrash him, Preacher. His 1 or 2 friends on the train say he's a mighty tough man. I'm afraid for your safety, Preacher.
Oh, I just can't watch it. The sight of blood makes me dizzy-headed.
Hell, that's your natural condition, Dupree.
Wade lumbered a few steps toward Preacher, then stopped and dragged his foot across the dirt.
You see his hairline. You be warned that if you step across it, you'd better be ready for a fight.
Oh, is that what that line means? Well, now I expect you're going to tell me there's rules to this here fight, huh?
That is correct, sir. Mr. Swift will keep the rules and shout out when to break.
When to do what?
To give a man time to recover from a knockdown. Each man will retire away from his opponent once the other man is down. The fight will continue until one man yields or is knocked unconscious.
Is that the way they do it back east now?
That is correct. Now, toe this line.
May we, Preacher, step up here and receive your thrashing.
Preacher leapt like a panther at the bigger man. 1 foot shot out and slammed against Wade's face.
Hey, Wade, tell me again. Where is it I retire to?
Oh, sir, or no, gentlemen. Throw up your dukes!
Preacher jumped over, and before the mover could throw a punch, he grabbed Wade's wrist in an iron vise. The man, red-faced in embarrassment, tried to break free. He could not break loose from Preacher's powerful grip.
You dance good, Wade. This is fun. Somebody get a fiddle and a squeeze box. Let's have us a party.
You goddamn heathen! Unhand me!
Wade struggled in vain to break free of Preacher's grip. Dupree grabbed the first woman he spied and began dancing around the trail. Others soon joined him. Then someone found a fifth. Up the trail, the grizzly sow lifted her huge head at the bizarre display. She moved the cubs off the trail and into the timber, stashing them safely in thick brush. Then she lumbered down the trail to investigate the strange going-ons in the woods, all 900 pounds of them. Nighthawk was doing a little jig on the trail with several little boys and girls dancing with him.
Turn me loose and fight, you bastards!
But I'd rather dance. Ain't this fun?
No!
Kick him, Papa! Trip him down on the ground!
Yee-haw!
That was enough for the bear. She turned tail and ran like hell. Meanwhile, Preacher had danced way to just the right spot. Wade went tumbling down the embankment and did a belly whopper right into the water below. Preacher looked around him, found Avery, and grabbed the boy.
Come here, you.
What are you doing?
You son of a bitch!
Come early evening, the wagon train halted about 5 miles from Rocky Creek. Sentries were doubled and the wagons pulled in tight. Preacher walked around the circle of trains with the other mountain men, visually inspecting each wagon.
Get dead leaves and twigs and the like and scatter them in front of your wagons. Make it several feet wide and put them 3 or 4 yards out. You wake up with something crackling, shoot it, because that ain't going to be nobody friendly.
I got me a feeling.
Yeah, me too. I think we're gonna have troubles tonight.
Engines is all turned every which way. Snakes down in Ute country, Blackfoot and Arapahoe wandering around down here, cayuse on the prowl. It don't make no sense to me. We seen some Hidatsa over west of here. Whole bunch of them, wasn't it, Nighthawk?
Too damn many. Not hunting food either. I think they flee the fever back east.
Hey, I keep hearing talk of an uprising, about tribes burying the hatchet and banding together. I reckon it's true. Any dog soldiers with them?
Couldn't tell for certain. Well, I hope not. I hate them damn bastards. They fight something fierce.
Very soon after supper was eaten and the dishes washed, the movers began settling down for sleep. Trapper Jim brought over a fresh pot of coffee and the mountain men relaxed, drinking the hot, strong brew.
When you think they'll hit us?
Hey, you feel it too, eh, Jim?
Yeah. My guess is just as soon as the people get good sleep. I don't think they're going to wait too long.
That's a good thought. We'll just drink this here coffee and then take up positions. Our backs is in pretty good shape backed up to the bluffs. East is clear enough. West and south will be the way they'll hit us. Well, I reckon it's time to get to work.
Hello? I see something out there. Several somethings. And they're not trying to hide.
Preacher shuffled over to the woman and stood gazing out into the night.
1/3 of your horses and mules, and 1/3 of your supplies. Then you may pass.
Forget it, and don't tell me you're hungry. There's game aplenty out there this summer. We ain't bothering you, so there ain't gonna be no tribute paid.
You will die then, all of you!
Sing your death song.
We know that you have that cowardly crow Nighthawk with you as well.
Asshole!
Only cowards attack women and children. None of you are fit to be called braves. You're all stinking coyote vomit.
Bear killer will not die well, I am thinking.
Preacher had hunkered down. His eyes had found a shape on the ground that was unnatural to the terrain. He lifted his hawk and sighted it in. Preacher watched Nighthawk lift his rifle and aim it into the darkness.
Everyone with 2 rifles get ready to stand and deliver. We'll all fire at once. That much firepower all at once might change your minds. Keep your second rifle at hand in case it just makes them mad and they charge.
The movers were lucky this night. Their blind fire had hit several warriors. The Indians, never with enough ball or powder, figured that any group with so much shot and powder to spare made their medicine very bad.
They're heading north. Through for this night.
Preacher walked over to the pilgrim he'd heard cry out during the battle. The man sat with his back up against the wheel of a wagon, an arrowhead sunk more than halfway through his thigh. Preacher turned to the man's wife.
You got any drinking whiskey, ma'am?
The frightened woman simply nodded.
Get it. Your man's gonna want it. Thank you kindly, ma'am. There. Your turn, buddy. I could say that this is gonna hurt me worse than it does you, but I'd be lying. You take three or four good swallows there and then tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Preacher nodded at Dupree and Beartooth, and the mountain men grabbed the mover's arms. Preacher got him a good grip on the shaft of the arrow and pushed it hard. The arrow tore out through the back of his leg. Preacher pulled out the sharpened half first, then the remainder from the other end of his leg.
He's out cold. Pour some whiskey on the wound and Nighthawk will take over from there. Let him fix his potions and poultices and don't interfere. Injun's been using things like marigold and golden seal and nip bone for centuries, and they work.
First they try and kill us, then they're there to save us.
Yeah, welcome to the High Lonesome, ma'am. Hey, Swift, let's hold her up here.
You got it, Preacher.
Me, Dupree, Nighthawk, and Beartooth are gonna ride up ahead, see what we can.
Jim and me will keep an eye on the train.
Let's go, boys.
The four mountain men left the wagon train about a mile from Rocky Creek and rode up to the crossing. No engines were in sight, but the four of them knew that didn't mean jack shit in this country.
Quiet, but a peaceful kind of quiet.
All right. Like that bird singing yonder. That ain't no bird.
I'll clean that right off. They must be waiting for us in them rocks over yonder across the creek. Now, I consider that to be downright nasty, sneaky, unfriendly, and not at all to my liking.
Oh, yeah, not nothing like any of us would do.
You got you an idea? Every time you grin like that, I know you got something sneaky wiggling around inside your head bone.
I do for a fact. Let's ride on back and get things set up. We'll give them renegades something that the survivors can tell the grandkids about. Yeah! Howdy, Swift. Here's the plan. Real easy-like and not no hurry, I want you to pick out 12 of the best shots in the train, get them ready to load up. 6 in each wagon, 3 to a side. I want them to have at least 3 rifles loaded up and their pistols at the ready. Beartooth and Nighthawk is on the south right now, checking to see if we're being spied on. Rig the canvas so it can be jerked up from the inside. Have Jim drive one wagon and a damn good man on the seat of the other. We're gonna turn this ambush around. That was Nighthawk telling me it's clear. When you get your men picked out, load everybody up on the south side of the wagons so the engines won't see what's going on.
Where will you be?
Me and Beartooth will be in front, Dupree and Nighthawk to the rear. What we'll do, you and me, is have a big argument on the banks with me yelling that we can only take 2 wagons across at a time. Then we'll move them out.
I hope this works.
Oh, hell, me and Beartooth's gonna be in the front. What are you complaining about?
Preacher had Hammer trot back to where the 2 wagons were being prepared. With only the flaps facing southward lowered, men busied themselves offloading the wagon's contents, making room for the marksmen to crouch. Other men were digging for spare rifles and pistols, loading them up and handing them to the marksmen. The mountain men double-shotted their pistols and checked their rifles. Preacher moved up to where Beartooth stood, overseeing the action.
Me and Nighthawk found signs that show some lazy butt diggers had joined this bunch. This bunch mostly is tribal outcasts. For a digger to throw somebody out of the tribe means they really must have done something awful.
I ain't never heard of a digger ever throwing nobody out. Most of them's too damn lazy to take the time for a meeting.
Swift, make your people ready for an attack. We can't circle here, so everybody in the wagons are right near them. Guns ready. Trapper Jim!
We're ready!
Come on, Swift. Let's us walk down to the bank and have us a quarrel. Yeah. Leave our horses here.
I ain't never done no acting.
Oh, shit, ain't nothing to it. You just be as cantankerous as you usually are. You ready?
Guess so.
I had enough of this crap. You hear me, Swift?
Oh, you're nothing more than a coward. When I heard the stories about big old Preacher, I thought you had some guts in you. But now you're going to put us a week behind schedule because you want to play it safe? More than two wagons at a time is too much trouble for the loner.
Get the hell back to camp and get the first two wagons. You say one more damn word, and I will take a hike, and then you can do everything your way.
Swift threw his hands up dramatically and stalked off. His face was turned down towards the ground, and the thick brim of his hat almost concealed the grin on his face. He passed behind a rock and out of sight.
Beartooth, get my horse down here, will you? We're doing it two wagons at a time, as planned.
What's my mind?
Just say, here's your horse, Beartooth. Here's your horse, Beartooth!
Preacher!
Preacher!
You think they bought it?
I sure as hell hope so. We're going to have to fire these things like pistols, so get a good grip on yours. I hate for you to lose it, and you'd have to go wading down the creek after it. Is your feet so dirty, the water'd be ruined for miles downstream.
Why, you ain't taken a bath in so long, even a fleas is leaving you. I ought to shove you off in your horse so your poor animal could take a decent breath. It's a wonder he ain't dropped stone dead from having to smell you.
I reckon we'll play this here game out like we see it once we're crossed. You watch your top now if you have to leave the saddle, old son.
Yeah, same to you, Bear Killer. Here they are. Here we go.
Preacher and Beartooth stayed close to the first wagon, driven by Trapper Jim. They felt the attack would begin as soon as the second wagon was fully out of the creek and past the top of the embankment. The renegade Indians would, in all likelihood, be content with slaughtering those in the two wagons rather than face defeat or take heavy losses by waiting until the entire train was over.
Preacher, them rocks make them right. Unless a rock is taking the growing a hand, that is.
Yep. One careless engine. Tell you what, just as soon as the last wagon's crossed, we kick these hammerheads into a gallop and get past them boulders. I'll swing left, you swing right. We'll come up behind them. Oh, I'm sorry. Right is the side that your furthest leg is on, in case you forgot.
I tell you to keep low in the saddle, but you're so damn scrawny and poor as it is. If an engine gets an arrow in you, it'll be pure luck. I've never seen a man afore that has to stand in the same spot twice to make a shatter.
Yeah, well, don't you worry none about taking no arrow points, Beartooth. There's so much lard and blubber on you, it won't do no damage to amount to much.
Yeah! Preacher cut left and Beartooth cut right, just as the rocks on both sides of the trail were suddenly swarming with rogue Indians. And just as fast, the canvas on the wagon jerked off and the riflemen inside leveled their weapons. Those engines never had a chance. Taken completely by surprise, they were cut down. Blood began staining the rocks and boulders by the creek. Preacher left his horse and slammed into a buck, knocking him to the ground. The mountain man sprang to his feet with a knife in one hand and a pistol in the other. Preacher spun, using his rifle like a club to crack the skull of another buck who came screaming at him. Dropping the hawk, Preacher jerked out two pistols. Brave jumped at Beartooth and the huge man grabbed him by the neck and hurled him against a boulder.
Filthy crow!
Nighthawk turned as the renegade Sauk lunged at him. Nighthawk lifted a pistol. Nighthawk turned to help his friend Dupree, who was struggling with two Indians who wore Sioux markings. The crow warrior clubbed one in the head with the butt of his pistol. Dupree managed to get the upper hand on the other, throwing him to the ground.
All right, it's over now! Stop firing! It's over! Any of them that are still alive are off now! Stay in the wagons! Reload all your weapons! You conducted yourselves mighty fine!
Hey, Preacher! You ever see so many damn tribes in one spot? I counted eight just off the dead! There's even a dead Cree over yonder!
Yeah, that worries me.
Preacher, when do we cross?
Bring them on over right now, Swift.
Trapper Jim knew to take Preacher's order without having to be directly told. He climbed back on the seat of the first wagon as the driver of the second did the same. Hey-ah! The wagons lumbered across the water slowly, and the creek crossing went well, for a time. The wheel came off one of the wagons, dumping some of its contents into the now muddy water.
Hold up, hold up! Don't try to drive them wagons around it! There's rocks on one side and a drop-off on the other!
You heard the man! Rig a skid! Help us down here, boys! Let's step lively now!
Melody had crossed the creek side saddle just before the breakdown, and she proceeded to eyeball the proceedings from the bank. Preacher spotted her wrinkling her little nose at the smell of death that hung heavily around the ambush site. She made a pointed effort to ignore Preacher.
Oh, that woman wants to share her blankets with you, Preacher.
She's a looker.
Well, I'd sooner bed down with a coyote. I done told that woman 15 times to leave me be. It's like trying to get shut of a hungry bear when you're toting fresh-killed meat.
Why don't you bed her down and then just ride off?
If I'd done that, she'd be following me around forever, toting a bedroll. Oh, I can just see it now. All the rest of my days, I'd have this female following me across the plains and the mountains. No matter where I might wander, she'd be right behind me calling out, "Come back, Preacher! Preacher, come back! I want you!" Lord God, I'd be the laughing stock of the West.
Melody cut her eyes to the group of mountain men, unaware of the sight that caught Preacher's eye as he turned back her way. An Indian was only a few yards from her. He hadn't moved at all during the ambush, and now he was positioned between a rock and a small bush. He was one with the earth, conspicuous to anyone who might glance his way, but banking on the fact that whites will look at most things and missed almost all of them. What he hadn't banked on was Preacher. The engine made his move, leaping toward Melody, a war axe in one hand, ready to crush her head. Preacher lifted the hawk in one hand and like it was a pistol. The ball seemed to stop the brave mid-flight, killing him before he touched the dirt.
Oh, Preacher, my hero!
Melody jumped up, ran to Preacher, and flung her arms around his neck. Her hands had barely met before she passed out cold.
I ain't never gonna get shut of this female.
The four mountain men stood beside their horses at the front of the wagon train. They were perched on a hilltop overlook now, gazing across the Snake River's rushing waters to its north bank.
Well, here's where we test the metal.
It ain't as bad as I've seen it. The islands is visible, and they're big enough to hold wagons to rest. I reckon a far-thinking man can make some money by operating a ferry here.
Well, let's get ropes strung and start getting the people across. I'm just hoping we don't lose nobody here.
If we do, maybe it'll be that damn Avery.
I don't figure we'll be that lucky.
Hold them ropes! Get them rafts across the river fast before the knot breaks! Come on now!
It took 3 days to get the entire train across the river. The first wagon to cross was lost, but all the others made it across unscathed. Several got damaged due to the strain of the river, and half a dozen wheels had to be repaired. But still, the damage was slight, considering the force of nature the wagon train was able to overcome. After a day of repairs, the train rolled on, now taking a more northerly course as they put the Snake behind them. Engines came down out of the mountains to watch them, standing or sitting their ponies, and silently watching the long train as it pushed north and west.
Relax, Swift. I know these people. They're in his purse. I'll talk to them. They ain't gonna bother us if we leave them alone.
I hope.
Howdy, Chief.
Preacher?
We come in peace. We'll be off your land soon.
So it is as we were told. The white man comes like ants to honey.
Yeah, looks that way. And I ain't liking it no more than you.
You have never lied to us, so I will be truthful to you. The Cayuses are making war talk. And Red Hand is joined with the large band of whites and now waits in the blues. Is it you they are after?
Yeah. How many is they?
Plenty. 25, maybe 30, maybe more of the white outlaws. Red Hand has gathered a large force to follow him. Bad Indians whose tribes ran them from the village. Oh, killers. Maybe 75 of them. White haters.
You are going the way of the trappers? Through the Blues?
Right through them. Blues to the west and the Wallawas to the east.
Then may the gods ride with you.
Thanks, Chief. Yeah. Well, Dupree, Chief can count. We're looking at maybe 100 or more Red Hands and Kelly's people.
And the Blues?
Yep. You remember where the powder makes that big wide curve? That's a bad crossing there. We'll be tied up for the better part of 2 days. That's where they'll hit us, you can bet on.
When we all split up, half on one side and half on the other, Red Hand and Bone might be worthless, but they ain't stupid.
You got it. Well, we can't do nothing to change it. So let's concentrate on just getting there.
The wagons had put hundreds of tough miles behind them, and they were all beginning to show signs of wear. Wheels were shattering nearly every day. Tongues were breaking, and the pace of the trek had slowed considerably. Preacher didn't push them. He made daily inspections of the wagons and knew that the movers had to set their own pace. He could only guide them, not make them move faster. They pushed on, crossing Canyon Creek, and several days later, camping near Lucky Peak. From there, Preacher turned them westward for a time and plunged deeper into the wilderness. He rode at the front, accompanied by Dupree and Beartooth.
You reckon there's some boys gonna be up here at the fork, Dupree?
There wasn't when we went out that way last time, but that was some months back. If there is, we're gonna be plumb shocked to see this bunch come rattling in.
And be busy calling us 9 kinds of fools for bringing them, too.
What's going on, Richard?
A child is gone. Little Patience Lander. Swift has halted the train for a search.
Damnation. Had to happen sometime, I guess.
This was brush and low hill country, perfect for ambushes and Injun sneak attacks. But neither Preacher nor any of the other mountain men believed they'd grab the little girl. None of them had seen any sign of natives since Preacher talked with the Nez Perce several days back. Still, that possibility couldn't be discounted.
We're getting real close to Cayuse country, Preacher.
Yeah, that is a fact. Let's start circling for sign. We'll find her.
Preacher left his horse and set out walking, slowly working in an ever-widening circle. He took the terrain to the northeast. Bogus Basin lay only a few miles away near the edge of the Salmon River Mountains. The thing that bothered Preacher most was that some of Red Hand's people might have been spying on him, seen a chance to grab a kid and done it. The young age of the girl wouldn't make any difference to a renegade, white or red. They'd mount her, then kill her. Preacher's eyes picked up a track. He knelt down and studied it, his skin growing clammy.
Moccasin tracks.
He carefully inspected the find. 4 sets of Injun tracks and 1 set of little girl prints. If it was a Cayuse or even Blackfoot, they wouldn't harm the little girl. They'd adopt her into the tribe. Her life would be hard, but she'd be alive. And they might beat her, but they wouldn't rape her. Unfortunately, Preacher had him a hunch these were renegades from Red Hand's bunch. And that put a whole different light on things. He looked back. He was a good mile from the wagon train, too far for a shout, and he didn't want to fire a shot into the air. Since this was brush country and it had been dry, the renegades would have stashed their horses several miles away, not wanting to raise a dust, and they would have approached the wagon train on foot. That made it a race against time. Preacher stayed with the tracks, which clearly indicated that the Indians were running now. He could see the longer strides from the footprints. One of them was making a much heavier print, so he had to be the one carrying the child. Preacher caught a glimpse of brown skin not that far ahead of him. He had his hawking and his brace of pistols, but that was only 3 shots for the 4 Injuns he saw ahead. He'd have to make every shot count, and then when the bastard toting the child set her down to make a fight of it, Preacher would have to be close enough to cut him. He was less than 100 yards behind him now. Approaching a huge boulder, Preacher took a chance and jumped, landing on top of the boulder and kneeling down. He pulled his hawk into his shoulder and sighted in on one, compensating for the distance. The renegade threw up his hands and fell face down into the dirt. The 3 Injuns left paused for a second, then took off running again. Preacher was off the boulder and running hard, knowing the shot would bring others at a gallop. He noted that the Injun he had killed was a Hidatsa, and the buck carrying the girl looked to be the same.
Hey, you beater of little girls! Does your taste run to little boys, too?
The brave stopped and turned around, his face a mask of war-painted hate. Preacher didn't let up, continuing to run toward the three Indians, now all stopped and sneering back in his direction.
No wonder you're all such lovers of men! No woman would look upon such ugliness for fear of being struck barren!
The Hidatsa threw the girl to the ground.
You bastard! Run to the horseman behind me, girl! Run like the devil was after you!
Patience took off. One of the other renegades, a crow, lifted his rifle. The creature hit the ground and rolled behind some rocks. He rammed home shot and powder and patch. Now his pistols were both double shot. Chancing a look behind him, he saw Nighthawk sweep the girl up in his arms, then turn back toward the wagons at a run. Glancing sideways, the creature spotted Dupree and Beartooth slowly circling his adversaries on horseback, cutting them off. The two remaining renegades had disappeared, dropping to their bellies in the brush, hoping to slip away. Injuns being what they were, the chances were good they'd do just that, too.
You all right, Preacher?
I'm dandy. Watch your butts, boys. There ain't nothing more dangerous than an Injun who's in a trap.
I told them others at the train to stay put, that we'd take care of this.
Preacher rose from the brush, a pistol in each hand, the hammers back. He quickly backed up and hunkered down amid some smaller rocks with a boulder to his back.
Pay attention, boy! There was an Injun hooking on the other side of that boulder! Do I gotta do everything for you?
Preacher slipped from the rocks just as the last renegade rounded the boulder, a war axe in his hand and a look of raw hatred on his face.
That's it. For the time being, that is.
On Swift's orders, and against Preacher's better instincts, the wagon train stayed put for 2 days while young Patience Landers recuperated from her scare. Preacher considered recrossing the snake to avoid the engine troubles that surely awaited him up ahead. He knew it was only a short ways back, but didn't know how it could be done without taking days to build some rafts and ferry the wagons across.
What do you say, Dupree?
We got to do it, Preacher. There ain't no other way to do it.
Beartooth, Nighthawk.
Tell you the truth, Preacher. I got my doubts these wagons will even hold it together over the Cascades with or without engine troubles.
I've been giving lots of head ruminating to it. I've been using parts of my brain that I ain't put to work in years. It's making it hurt, too. Let me put it to you this way. If we can beat back and put a good enough whooping on Bum and Red Hand in the Blues, we could chance a run down the Columbia. But that's a mighty big if, boys.
There might be some old boys camped on the Boise that'd lend us a hand.
If and might don't feed the bear, though. Now, I agreed to see these people through, and that's what I'll do, or they'll bury me out here in the wilderness.
We'll get him over to Cascades, then. Nighthawk knows the trails.
When the train reached the crossing where the Boise juts off from the snake, it was evidence that trappers had been there, but only one man remained now. He'd taken an arrow in his leg, and it had gotten infected, leaving him near death by the time Preacher found him. Preacher had to struggle to maintain his composure. The stench of the rotten leg was strong.
You don't look so good, Ballard.
I feel a damn sight worser than I look, Preacher. And you can bet on that. I could hear y'all's train coming for a long time. Didn't know what the hell it might be.
How come you didn't let him take your leg, Ballard?
I had never knowed no one-legged trapper. Be kind of hard to sit a horse, wouldn't it?
Yeah, might be. Never gave it much thought. There's missionaries in the train. I can get some of them to pray over you if you'd like.
It'd beat the sound of my own voice, I reckon. That's all I've been hearing for a week. I thought I'd be long dead for now. Why don't we make an event of it? We can have singing and shouting and preaching and praying. If I set my mind to it, I reckon I could expire during all the festivities.
Well, I'll see what I can do.
He wants what?
A party and some praying and a jug.
That's grotesque. The man needs salvation.
What he needs is what he wants. I'll get the jug. You get to praying in the line.
Soon they were all gathered around Ballard.
I will conduct this ceremony with dignity, sir.
I ain't interested in no dignification. How dignified can I be with my leg all swole up the size of a tree and poison all in my body? Give me that damn jug, preacher. Mighty tasty. Now, get some of them women to singing. I'll get myself all ready to pass.
Bantu, is he serious?
Sure is, Edmund. I once knew the man who rode 100 miles with 2 arrows in his stomach. By rights, he should have died days before he did. But he wanted to pass in the company of friends, so he hung on till he reached the camp. He fell off his horse, looked at us and said howdy, and died.
Lift your voices in song, sisters. And you might lift them skirts up some and show me a shapely leg if you're a mind to. I ain't seen a white woman in nigh on 2 years.
Mind your manners, sir.
Go to hell, boy. Preach or pray, but get to doing something.
Ladies.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Pretty women, soft singing, good whiskey. I can see the gates of heaven opening up now.
What you see is storm clouds. It's fixing to rain.
Not till I pass. You mind them damn cayuses, preacher. Something's got them all stirred up. Hey, you got a stogie on you?
I have been saving this butt in my coat pocket.
That'll do. Now I'm a contented man. You look after my horse, preacher. Give my rifle and my pistols to someone who needs them. And bury me deep so the varmints won't get me.
Shit, I don't know no varmint who'd want you.
Well, you might be right there. Listen, preacher. There's a bunch of missionaries done built them a church just north of the Blues. They got the cayuses all stirred up. Even some of the real small tribes are smearing on war paint. Be careful.
We'll do it, Ballard. You rest easy on that.
I think I'll just give up the ghost, preacher.
Whenever you're ready, Ballard, I'll plant you deep. That's a promise.
Preacher!
Right here.
I can't lift the jug, old hoss. Ain't this a pitiful way for a man to go out?
I don't know no real good way.
You do got a point. I'll see you, preacher.
I'll see you, old son. Well, no use putting it off. We might as well get it over with.
Do you want any of us to accompany you?
No, Richard. We'll do this in private.
I think I understand now.
Yeah, Richard, I think you do myself. You come a far ways, and I ain't talking about distance and miles traveled.
Thank you, preacher.
Look, you come on and go with us, Richard. I think you've earned that.
It had taken 5 days of brutally hard work to build the rafts and get across the flood-swollen Boise. There were a lot of cuts and bruises and badly strained muscles, but fortunately, no broken bones. Preacher was growing weary with the stress of protecting so many lives, but he felt better with each hurdle they overcame.
Preacher!
What is it, Swift?
2 families have pulled out. They say they're going to stay here. They're not going any further.
I can't say I wouldn't expected something like this to happen. He's acting like damn fools by doing it, but I ain't going to waste no time jawing with them. Leave them be.
Man, they'll die out here.
Yeah, well, that's their problem. I don't sign on to hold nobody's hand. Besides, they got a chance of surviving here. There's cabins all over the wilderness. Life will be hard for them, but they can make it.
That's all you got to say on the subject?
Ain't nothing else to say, as far as I'm concerned.
The wagon train rolled on, leaving the 2 families behind at the side of the trail, waving at those who continued. The preacher didn't look back. He had it in his mind that the movers weren't about to stay out here in the wilderness. They'd had a gutful of it, and they were planning on heading back east to civilization. How they planned on getting back across the rivers and the like was anybody's guess. He could be wrong about their plans, but he didn't think so. And it was just as well, for this country was no place for cowards or the faint-hearted. The wilderness seemed to bring out the best in some and the worst in others. It oftentimes appeared to Preacher that the savage vastness seemed to know the cowardly or timid from the moment they came into it. For the weak, the silent earth they were buried in was the only homestead they ever occupied. Now the sun shone down with a vengeance, baking the land in midsummer's heat. The trail had turned to dust that coated wagons, animals, and people. And the stretch they were coming up on was void of water.
All right, folks, top your barrels. Fill everything that'll hold water. Your animals come first. You drink after them. Swift, we'll be headed straight north once we make this next 30 or so dry miles. We're heading for an area close to Lookout where we'll rest. About that time, we'll be 35 miles or so from where I figure Bum and Red Hand is going to hit us.
Maybe they'll have given up by then.
Don't count on it.
When they made camp that evening, Preacher saw to it that the water was carefully rationed. They had just enough water left to make them to the next crossing. They had 12 waterless miles to go before they came to Burnt River. Once they left there, it was just over 30 dry miles to the Powder. Not that he'd ever been a popular man with the Pilgrims, but people had less than ever to say to Preacher these days. Now, that in itself didn't trouble him. He was a hard man in a hard land, and to survive out here, that's what it took. These Easterners would soon discover that, or they'd die. That was the bottom line. Luckily, he had a few of his own kind around the fire.
Coffee, Preacher?
Sure, Jim.
We'll lose some of those people when these renegades hit us. This won't be no little skirmish. Bum and Red Hand will throw everything they got at us.
I've done all I know to do. I've seen to it that there's plenty of powder and shot. I warned them what they can expect. I can't do no more than that.
You know, this is what we're all going to end up doing before it's all said and done. Either guiding trains through or scouting for the army. That's all that's left.
Dupree's right. What else can we do? I mean, think about it. Another 2-3 years, the fur will all but be gone. Them that's planning on trapping forever's kidding themselves. Can't none of us tolerate no towns or houses for any length of time. And I can't see none of us clerking in no damn store. We damn sure ain't gonna get married and settle down and scratch in the ground raising crops. At least I ain't. So you tell me what that leaves us.
Over here in the mountain, men, Edmund walked up to the fire.
You must make plans on returning to civilization and law and order.
Oh, piss off, Edmund.
In the not-too-distant future, I can envision this trail being a wide and well-traveled road. Engineers will come in and build bridges across the rivers. There will be towns along the way. The railroads will cut through the mountains and link coast to coast.
That's the most terrible thing I ever heard of. Them people best stay home. What's all them people gonna do out here?
Bring civilization and law and order. Raise families and build towns and schools and churches. Make a decent life for thousands of people. All sorts of factories will be built.
To make what?
All sorts of goods for the newly arrived settlers. It's the law of supply and demand. It's called progress, gentlemen. You can either be part of it, or it will simply push you aside. You cannot stop it, gentlemen. It's futile to even try.
Edmund left him to chew on that.
What's futile?
I don't know, but it sounds bad to me.
Railroads? There ain't nobody gonna build no damn railroads through the mountains. It can't be done.
Oh, yeah? Melody told me these people back east take to traveling in balloons.
Preacher, you have told some whoppers in your time, but mon Dieu, holy shit, the balloons?
Oh, it's true. They make a big bag and then they fill it with hot air and they soar it up to the clouds. They ride in baskets that's got little stoves in them. And to keep the bag filled with hot air by burning wool and straw and the like.
Shit, that ain't natural. If God meant for men to soar, he'd birth us with wings.
How high up do they soar?
I don't know. I ain't never seen one. More than a mile, I reckon.
And what happens if the bag bursts?
Well, now, I reckon you'd have to fall back to Earth. What the hell other direction would you go?
Why, that'd be the same as jumping off a damn mountain. Who'd be foolish enough to do that?
Yeah, them folks back east, I guess.
There ain't nobody ever gonna get me up in no damn oversized picnic basket.
Folks back east just ain't got good sense.
God damn, Jim. Took you this long to figure that out?